with Paul Harris filling in for McGraw. Yesterday at this time, I told you that Time magazine had come out with its Person of the Year issue, and the Person of the Year was actually more of a category of the year. The category was The Protester. This made me a little bit upset because it marks the 9th consecutive year they have not named me. I keep coming in second. I'm so close. But this year it went to The Protester, and with the Arab Spring and Occupy Wall Street and other movements around the country, it's probably a very appropriate choice. Kurt Anderson is the guy who was chosen to write the cover story about The Protester for Time magazine, and I've asked him to join us here this morning and explain it a little bit. Good morning, Kurt.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. So The Protester really begins in Tunisia, right?
The Protester, yeah, really did begin. That's where the first big domino fell, when this young man who had been mistreated and abused by police in his town in Tunisia. He was a produce seller. He was just a hardworking young guy who sold fruits and vegetables out of a cart. Finally, when they took his scales and slapped him around one morning exactly a year ago, he just decided he couldn't take it and went to the government, local government. They ignored him. He drenched himself in paint thinner and lit himself on fire. And that struck a nerve in Tunisia and then the rest of the Arab world, and people began protesting, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Now, as we've seen the other dominoes fall in places like Egypt and Libya, and we'll come back to the United States in a moment and talk about Occupy, but as we've seen it fall in the other states that have been affected by the Arab Spring, what do we see happening after the protesters have accomplished what they wanted, which is toppling these megalomaniacal dictators?
Well, that's the thing. In these countries with autocrats and dictators, I mean, those autocrats and dictators give the protesters of all stripes great unity and solidarity. They know they want to get rid of Mubarak or Gaddafi or whomever it is. Once that happens, of course, figuring out what to do next and what kind of civil society and country you want to build isn't so easy. I find myself more hopeful than not in places like Tunisia, Egypt, Libya, of that they are, you know, having not had anything like a real politics, a free politics or democracy the last decades, they are building it from scratch. And so that is messy. And certainly in Tunisia and Egypt, what you've had is because the various kind of Islamic groups have had, because they've been in prison, among other things, they have been organized underground, effectively, the last decades under these dictators, and are well organized. And thus, as electoral politics begin and elections begin, they are doing quite well because, unlike everybody else, they've been keeping together and communicating and forging discipline that, once you have a democracy, proves to be useful. So they're doing well and going to dominate those parliaments. One of the things I was surprised by in the reporting I did going over to Tunisia and Egypt is really getting a sense of there are Islamists and there are Islamists. It's a very broad brush. It's like saying, you know, conservatives or moderates in America or any broad category. I mean, there's a great range of them, and I think we as Westerners and Americans have to be careful about sort of examining which kind of Islamists we're talking about in these countries.
All right, now let's talk about The Protester in America. The Occupy Wall Street is certainly a big part of that. We have a great history of protest in this country going back, 80, 90 years with the union movement, and then in the 60s, the anti-war protests and the women's movement and civil rights, and more recently, even gay rights have been brought about by protesters, which had to, of course, be teamed up with action, and you also had to have leadership. Now, the Occupy
Right.
Wall Street movement doesn't seem to have any kind of leadership, so can it possibly be successful without it?
Well, movements often start without clear leaders. I mean, look at our original protest that led to the American Revolution. There were not national leaders for 10 or 20 years in the protest that preceded the American Revolution. Leadership class developed. So I can't begin to predict where Occupy Wall Street, Occupy Oakland, Occupy everywhere else will end up as a movement in America, but again, in my reporting, among talking to those people, there is a leadership class approaching, emerging. Now, there was nobody elected ahead of time or self-declared, I am the leader of Occupy ahead of time. To their credit, I would argue, in terms of being able to get traction and find adherence and everything. But it seems as though the most hardworking and committed people of various kinds and able to get along with their fellow protesters are emerging as leaders. So I think over time one is already seeing leaders. They just don't quite call themselves that yet. But that was the case also in these massive protests that that cropped up last summer that. I wasn't paying much attention to at the time, but in Madrid and Athens and all over Europe, those too were these ostensibly leaderless groups that once they occupy the central square in Madrid or in Athens, leadership groups emerge, and it's like a little ad hoc meritocracy where leaders emerge. I would argue, in a year from now, or even in the spring, when these groups come back to action, I think we'll definitely see leaders, and we'll begin being able to say, oh yes, this person is the leader of Occupy Miami or Occupy Chicago or whatever.
Do you think Occupy will have an impact on next year's elections? And I guess the other part of that is when you've talked to the people in the Occupy movement. Are they worried about being co-opted by professional politicians, or would they welcome it?
I would say they're not. They're closer to worried than welcoming. I think what they want, the smartest and wisest of the ones I've talked to want, is it's not so much. I mean, it's not co-optation. I mean, they want their big issues, the degree to which American politics seems over-influenced by money, or in more extreme versions, rigged by the influence of money, addressed. And I think, to the degree they can look at success so far, that's been the success, is that question, the questions of growing income inequality in America, are now being talked about in a way they simply weren't 6 months ago. So, we'll see if they've influenced the elections. They've already influenced the national debate, which then gets addressed in the election campaigns and in the elections. They have been, the Occupy people have been criticized by many established conventional political types for saying, oh, well, what are your demands? What do you want? To a lot of them, and so far I agree, it can't go on forever, but that's more of a, as they say in the software business, a feature than a bug. As soon as you say, this is the specific piece of legislation I want, or the specific executive action I want, then you're reduced to just another special pleader about that. So for, and by the way, they're only, we've only heard of them for the last 3 months. It's a new phenomenon. And so what they have instead is a critique, right? That, the political system is over-influenced by money and the very well-to-do and corporate interests have too much say. That's a critique that a lot of people can say amen to.
Yep. It'll be very interesting when the spring comes around and they come out of hibernation to see how well these American protesters can do and what kind of influence they're going to have. Kurt, I appreciate your time this morning. And by the way, I really enjoy your work on Studio 360.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Kurt Anderson, who wrote the cover story for Time Magazine, Person of the Year this year, The Protester.